This week, I attended a funeral of one of the saints. Bob and I went down to Karen Decker's mother's funeral, Anita Helm, and she appreciated all your support for that. And like the hundreds of other funerals, you know, having been in the business, I mean, I've literally been to maybe 2,500 funerals in my life. And having done that, I see a common factor that I also saw in this funeral that was earlier this week. And that's the common factor that the preacher, the family, and the friends would say things like, "Well, I remember that time." Or they'd say, "Once a long time ago, we did something together." They always reminisce. They always go back and they talk about something that happened in the past. And the reason for this practice is because our relationships are found in moments of time shared with one another. The passage that Lake read, what I want you to see from that is there was a togetherness. They did things together. Then go back to a time. We went back to their time. We wonder why they were so close. They did all things together. They were building memories. Question: what is the number one investment you can make toward evangelism in the church? Your answer? Time. That's the number one thing you can invest in somebody toward evangelism in the church. Jesus invested time in the apostles and vice versa. He spent the last 3 years of his life making these investments of time with them, and they also invested their time back in him. He ate many meals with them, including enormous feasts on the sides of mountains and the Last Supper in an upper room and fried fish on a beach. He built memories with them as they traveled all around the region, encountering many different people in many different situations. They were building memories with him as he walked on the water, healed the blind, the sick, the cripples, the deaf, the mutes. They were there with him, sharing in those times. They were there with him, building memories as Jesus cast out demons, calmed an angry sea, multiplied fish and bread, and taught in parables. They were there with Jesus, building a relationship. Jesus kept putting investments of time in them for 3.5 years. You know, we boil time down to, well, the sermon started a little bit late, and we look at the watch and watch. Time is really measured by events that are put into people's hearts. That's really the clock we need to be looking at. They were building a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior, and he was building a relationship with them. Can you imagine the memories that they held in their heads following the crucifixion? Jesus, remember that time? You know, look at all that. They could say, "Jesus, remember that time those Pharisees, they thought they had you cornered? And then you came up with this logic that just made sense to everybody. And they backed off. Remember that time, Jesus?" Or, "Jesus, remember that time that I saw you cry at Lazarus' tomb? Remember that time, Jesus, that you walked on the sea and Peter, he went out there and said, 'I could do it,' and he started sinking? Remember how you grabbed him and you pulled him up? I do. Remember that time you told us to drop the nets on this side of the boat? We said, 'No, it's not going to work. We've been fishing all night.' And then we just went ahead and did what you said, and we had more fish than we could ever pull into that boat. We had to get other boats over to help us finish it." They had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And there were so many things that these apostles shared with him that one of the apostles said all the books in the world couldn't contain. All the things that they saw him do. I mean, they have so many memories. You know, I bet you I would have loved to have a tape recording of some of the things they were saying as they were walking away from that crucifixion. The things they were saying as they thought Jesus was gone. "Boy, I remember that time." I mean, that's some incredible memories. You know what? Your time is the greatest investment you could ever make in evangelism. You make those investments in the hearts of people. Many years ago, there was a father in pursuit of career ambitions, going back to school and consuming his time with non-family events. He had a young daughter that wanted him to build a playhouse, and he said he would. He promised. And she had a little mailbox already purchased, and she wanted the house, this little playhouse, so she could put her little mailbox out there. And the weeks passed, and the father was just busy. He had no time set aside for that. And so a little mailbox rested on the dresser, and it started collecting dust because weeks turned into months and months into years, resulting in a dusty little mailbox on a dresser, causing the young girl to put off her special dream that she shared with her delaying father. Finally, the day would come to build the house. The father, you know, he wrapped up a lot of the obligations that he had, and he decided to take the easy route, though, because they had them on sale down at Home Depot. And so he took his daughter down to Home Depot, and when she finally, they found the little playhouse that he was going to build. This is the one I was going to build. And she was so excited about having her little mailbox, I could finally put it on here, that this would not be. Because when the little girl tried to get into the playhouse, she had outgrown the door and she'd get stuck in it. The father earned his training and his new career, but he lost the great moment of building not only a playhouse for the daughter, but also a memory that would have strengthened his relationship with her. He lost it. We have to take the time to invest time in people. You know, Paul invested time in Timothy. Paul got so much so that Paul referred to himself as Timothy's spiritual father, because Timothy's father was a Greek. And what we find is that Paul, you know, he guided Timothy as a father in Acts chapter 16, 1 through 3. He took him under his wing. Said he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were those in the parts, for they knew that his father was a Greek. So Paul brought him into the ministry, took him out on the mission field. He instructed Timothy as a Christian would, a Christian father would. 1 Corinthians 4:17. He says, "For this reason I send unto you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everyone in every church." Timothy knew him just like a father. Paul knew Timothy's demeanor as a father. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 20 and following, he says, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit," he says, "who will genuinely be concerned for their own welfare." He says, "For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus, but you know of his proven worth, that he served with me for the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father." They were close. They spent times out on the mission field together. And I don't know about you, but the people I spend time out with on the mission field, I really grow to appreciate them. I always leave with a strong relationship with them. Paul encouraged Timothy as a father. He says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Paul did things with him. Count this as investments in Timothy's soul. He spent a great deal of time with him, and he had a great relationship. Is it any wonder that we find Paul in the closing moments of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4 asking for Timothy to come to him? He says in 4 verse 9 twice, he says, "Make every effort to come to me soon." And in 2 Timothy 4, 21, "Make every effort to come before winter." Timothy, I want you here. We don't even know if Paul ever got to see him again, because we learned from outside sources that Paul was beheaded shortly after writing that. Probably never got to see him again. But you know what? Imagine the thoughts that Timothy could say. Imagine what he could say when he heard the news that Paul died. He could say, "You know, I remember that time when I first saw him and I heard him teach, and I said, I want to go on the mission field." And he could say, "I remember that time we were on that boat and we crossed over. And I remember that time when he was facing all these Jews in Ephesus. And he said, you better stay here. And he kept teaching me the scripture. I remember that time. You see, you can't remember if you don't make investments of time. You can't do it. If we will just take the time to invest time in others, you're going to see a difference that it'll make. You know, I was extremely blessed this week. I didn't think I was, but then something changed my whole perspective. You know, in the back of my Bible, you know, I have little pieces of paper I write people that I pray for, and then I kind of forget where they are, and I start another list over here, and I got so many Bibles, I have lists everywhere. And I was at the study at Boschio's this week, and I needed a piece of paper to write on. I thought, well, I have one in this Bible. I opened it up, and there I had a prayer list from last spring that I was praying for. 23 people on this prayer list that I was praying for at the time. And I just have to look at that and say, what changed? What changed? Well, I can tell you I spent time with all these people. But do you know, of the 23, 9 of these people I'm currently spending a lot of time with, and 5 of the people of the 23 have converted to Christianity. Praise God. But you know what? It took the efforts of many people. I look at all 5 of those people, and I see investments of time coming from everywhere on those people. It began with prayer, and it ended up at the throne room of Christ. Our ministries are simply vehicles that allow us to invest some time in others for the purpose of building a personal relationship with them. That's what a ministry is. Once this occurs, we'll be able to interest them in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what a ministry is. A ministry is a mechanism set up to allow me to invest time into these people, and then once we have that connection, we have that, I remember, say, hey, look at this. Let me show you my friend, Jesus. That's what a ministry is. In fact, here's an equation for you. Ministry equals time plus people plus gospel. That's what a ministry is. You cannot remove any one of those facts from there and still call it a ministry. You can't do it. If there is a gospel presentation without the time of a personal relationship, that's not a ministry. And if there is an organized effort designed to invest time in people, but then you don't have the gospel to introduce them to Jesus Christ, your best friend, well, guess what? There's not a ministry. And there are so many ministries available to us. There really are. But they must lead people. They must lead us to people and lead people to Christ. That's what a ministry is. Let me go ahead and summarize some of these ministries. We have a car ministry. A lot of you people know this. A lot of people, you don't know it. But we have a car ministry designed to build personal relationships with the broken down car people with the idea of turning their hearts to Jesus, the one that blessed them with that broken down car. That's a ministry. And you know what? There are people who actually were converted using that ministry. You know, we have a children's education ministry to build a personal relationship with the child possessing people and then point them to Jesus, the one who allowed them to have these children. And it also takes the children and introduces them to Jesus Christ. That's a ministry. We have a small home group Bible study ministry. And it's designed to build a personal relationship with the answer-seeking people and then pointing them to Jesus, the basis of all that we learn from. Let me give you some other ideas. Take things you're doing right now, and here's how you make it into a ministry. We have a lot of scrapbooking sisters around there. I don't know, is there scrapbooking guys here? I don't know. There's a lot of scrapbooking sisters out there. You know, I didn't even know what a scrapbook was. A scrapbook for me was just stuff you threw papers in before I moved here, and now they're really fancy. But we could have a scrapbooking ministry designed to allow us to invest some time. Put some time in all those photo organizationally challenged people and then directing them to Jesus, the one in whom wants you in his scrapbook. Okay? We could take a hospital or a nursing home ministry We got a hospital. We got nursing homes around here. We can use it to allow us to invest time in some physically ailing and time-challenged people, then redirecting them to a personal relationship with Jesus, the great physician and the eternal God. You know what? We got a prison just right down the road. That's right. I mean, they hide it behind a mall, but it's there. Do you know, if we want to ministry, we can go ahead and start a prison ministry to invest some time in these freedom-lacking people in order to direct them to a relationship with Jesus, the one who can truly set them free. You just take what you're doing, and then you make it into a vehicle to get to know people, to invest time in them, and then show them how to invest time in Jesus. There's your plan. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's a ministry. Our ministries are vehicles to take us to the people that need Jesus and then take them the rest of the way to Him. If a ministry does not lead us to people or lead people to Jesus, it's not a ministry, it's just a hobby. Okay? Be careful what you call a ministry, because I've heard that word misused here in this church. Say, well, we have this ministry here. Well, okay. Were those two mechanisms in place? Don't confuse hobby with ministry. We cannot think, though, that you're wasting your time when you're investing your time. You can't think that. You know, when I found that list in the back of the Bible, I was a little bit down. Because sometimes, you know, you go and you do work and you 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 forget that these investments of time, they do pay off. God always makes sure they pay off. Because that's really the plan. That was the plan from the very beginning in Acts chapter 2, what we read. And it's true today. And I was so happy when I could see that the ministries do pay off. Stop looking at it through your eyes, but through the eyes of the hurting. Stop looking at it through your eyes, but through the eyes of God. Our time is the greatest investment needed for the growth of the kingdom. Time. Is it a waste or an investment? I want to tell you a story about a man named Charles Francis Adams. He was a 19th century political figure and a diplomat. He kept a diary. And one day he entered in the diary. It said, went fishing with my son today. A day wasted. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence. And if you go back and you look at Brooke Adams' diary, on that same day, Brooke Adams made this entry into his. Went fishing with my father. The most wonderful day of my life. The father thought he was wasting time. And the son, it was the greatest day he's had. Stop looking at time as a hindrance. Just invest some time in some people. Don't underestimate your contribution of time in reference to the kingdom of God. You cannot make a difference for everyone. I have to let you know that. But you can make a difference for you and the people you do invest time in. That you can do by developing a personal relationship with them. If you do, they're more likely to meet your best friend, Jesus, if he's your best friend. So I want to leave you with this challenge today. As you leave today, I want you to walk by that board out there with all those pictures. Okay? Go by that board. If you got time, just go stand in front of that board. And I want you to look at each picture on that board. If you don't have time, go home and look at your directory. If you don't have a directory, let me know. I'll get you a directory. But look at each picture in there. And I want you to be able to do something like this. Look at that picture and say, hey, you know, I remember that time. I remember that time. I remember that time. And go through that whole thing. You're going to find out. You're going to have a lot of times on some people. And then some people, there's not even a minute or so. And you can't count time like, I remember that time we were on the same block. No, something you did together. Go back and do that. And then the people that you're not spending time with. We all got the same amount of time in a day. You go take some of those minutes and hours and days, and you go invest some time in them. And if you don't have a directory, you don't have a picture, just look around. You know, I was really excited. I kept looking back today. I wanted to see who was here because, you know, I equate people with something we did together. I do. I really do. I look at Don Joy back there. I can say, wow, I remember that time. I got like a whole book on Don. I'm going to write when he's gone. It's going to be Don Joy, not the leg brace. His wife, Tuha. I remember that time you made those egg rolls. Woo! Boy, they were great. I tell you, if you don't know you're loved by Tuha, wait till you taste some egg rolls. I remember that time that Dave Mars, when him and I were working on a socket, and the plier slipped and poked me right in the eye. Do you know he passed an ambulance on the way to the hospital? Did you not? He passed an ambulance. I couldn't believe that. I remember that time. I remember that time when helping Chad on a computer. I remember that time of Jane Patrick encouraging me. I remember going to India with Lisa and Jay. I remember going on a mountain hike with Jay and Kevin and Lisa. I remember that time. I remember Doug Zimmerman coming over to our house and us studying that Bible. Remember that presentation? And then we used that presentation the next week for somebody, and they ended up coming to Christ that very next week. I remember that time. He said, boy, I'm so happy about that. I remember that time trying to get that starter out of your car, Jesus. Or there was an alternator. I didn't think you can bend a firewall that much. I remember that time going to see Bill Cridlow after he had heart surgery. I remember him telling me how humble it is. I remember that time of Mike McCullough when we started studying the Bible. I remember the time he was so happy when he was baptized. He took me out to Fire Mountain and paid for it. I remember that time Jonathan started lifting weights. It was an ugly time, but I remember it. I remember that time that Jen Reeves brought us over for a meal. She's a very hospitable lady. I remember her husband coming over and us doing his truck, shining it up, making it look nice. I remember times with Carla and Jennifer, the Kemps. I remember a whole bunch of times. And, you know, I remember a new sister. You know, Heather, she just came here. She's coming to the Bible study. And I remember some things that she said to me. You see, we invest time in people, and then you have that relationship, and you become that much more effective. But if you don't invest time in people, the church is never going to be the church of the first century. What can you do when you find some people you haven't invested time with? Why don't you invite them out to eat? Have them into your home. Go to a Bible study in their home or invite them to yours. Work on a project together for the church. Go on a mission trip with them. Go on a short trip. Go on a long trip. You know, participate in a ministry together. Give them a call and just let them know you appreciate them and that you want to get to know them better. But whatever you do, don't say it's not going to make a difference because it is. It always does. And if we as a church invest time in everyone, then God will bless us in our relationship with Him. So there's my challenge. You go back and look at the directory, look at the pictures, look at the saints. And if you can't say, I remember a time. Where did Joe go? He was here. I remember that time we sat at Denny's. We go to Denny's a lot. I mean, if you go through and say, I remember that time, great. Then build on that. If you don't have one, then you need to start investing some time. And watch what happens. Watch who God leads into your life. Watch who's converted. Watch your joy grow. John says, these things I write unto you that your joy may be full. If you're cruising on fumes, then you need to invest some time. If you want to respond to the invitation that we're about to offer, for any reason, If you're looking for a church home and you would like this to be your church home, you can let us know. Or if you've never entered that covenant with Jesus Christ, you'd like to respond and enter a covenant of salvation with Him this morning, you can come forward. If you have a repentant heart and you believe in the name of the Son of God that He was dead, buried, resurrected, and you want to stake your whole future on that, then we have a death, burial, and resurrection covenant right behind us. It's called baptism. He commands it. Or if you have been struggling in your walk, go ahead, come forward, ask for the prayers of the saints. They won't let you down. If you want to respond for any reason, do so while we stand and sing.